joined the school in September 54 and was a member of Morley Hats. He was one of the Guildford boys who travelled over the Hog's Back on the notorious
26,000 miles.
He described as a kid who never realised his full potential in the classroom and achieved little success.
In fact, he smoked on the top.
However, as third choice goalkeeper, he occasionally played for the second 11 and established himself as a useful stopper in his house team. He left school in December 59 and went to France, where he secured employment as a waiter in a cafe in Versailles. It was here that he obtained a working knowledge of French. 6 months in France persuaded him that the grass was greener in Old Blighty. So after 6 months, he up sticks and returned home. On the strength of his French, he sat the Foreign Office entry examination and surprised everyone by passing. And then spent 3 years learning his trade in the diplomatic service. Once he'd attained the age of 21, he was posted to the Sudan, followed by postings to South Africa at the height of the apartheid regime, Iran in the days of the Shah, Botswana, Pakistan, Paris, Barbados, and Ghana. He thoroughly enjoyed his globetrotting, and at the age of 50, he opted early retirement to do human rights work. This gave him is there a last question then? This gave him the opportunity to pursue a political agenda and did some research on the Liberal Democrats. He was an elected member of the Guildford Borough Council for 8 years. He now enjoys retirement in Guildford and takes some limited interest with the Old Barnabians. Gentlemen, please prepare yourselves for an address from Ted Lang.
Thank you for that. I can assure you that I will not keep you here much longer. But when Roger Edgell approached me last year about speaking and proposing a toast today, I was somewhat surprised, especially as my school career was not that inspiring, and I have actually spoken on two early occasions since I left school 63 years ago. On my part, at those OFA dinners, I cannot recall much of what I said. Both occasions were in the 20th century, and those with long memories, please excuse me if I repeat myself. Well, back to September 1954, the year I entered the school as one of the Guildford boys. George Baxter entered his second year as headmaster and taught us English. Alan Fluck was our foremaster. The school still bore the scars of the Second World War. The air raid shelter on the memorial field was still operational. Some of us from one-parent families had lost a parent in conflict. The old classroom, First World War hut, known as the huts, although falling apart, remained operational. No health and safety here. All our textbooks were hand-me-downs. We were never in receipt of new textbooks. We were required to cover them with brown paper so they would last longer. However, all was not gloomy. And those of us with some spare cash and a patriotic desire to reduce the national debt could wander down to the physics lab at lunchtime and buy national savings certificates from Ben Brister. I have many early memories, but one, this is on the serious side, remains vividly clear. And this was on the 11th of November, Remembrance Day, 1954. And a wreath of poppies had been placed between the two memorial plaques at the bottom of the main staircase. Before them stood a wet-eyed Harry Beacon, who was reading the names of those killed in action. And he turned to me and said he had taught many of them. And, like a modern-day Mr. Chips, he said, "They were all good boys, not a bad one amongst them." And my responsibility was to see that that level of carnage was never repeated. 1954 was also a time for reconciliation. We had German and Jewish pupils in the school, which just carried on normally. In that first year, the school football 11 was unbeaten by any school, a record never to be repeated. Many of the matches were won by huge scores. The goalkeeper, David Fawkes, was selected to play for the county. Dennis Moore scored 59 goals. How many here today remember the starting 11 of that season? He read Fawkes, Wyatt, Love, Alf Common, Cavelli, Cooper, Bolt, Philip Moore, Dennis Moore, Alan Cox, and Toogood. As a Guildford boy, I travelled daily over the Hogsback on the 31 bus. This gave us the opportunity to mix with the girls, which added spice to the daily journeys. Frequently, we found ourselves in trouble. And all too often in assembly, George Baxter would ask those travelling on the 31 bus to remain behind me. I can only say that the journey home was a wonderful opportunity to unwind. I mentioned earlier Ben Brister, our physics master. He too lived in Guildford, and he drove to work rather than take the 31. On one occasion, the bus was involved in a slight accident. Ben Brister was aware of the problem and stopped to check there was nothing serious. We boys quickly extinguished our woodbines. And when he boarded the bus, he sarcastically said, "No wonder the bus had an accident. The poor driver became lost in the smoke." Yes, he was quite a personality. Although the school had a leaning towards the sciences, modern languages were taught. Well, at least French was. It was possible to do German. But to do so, one had to give up both art and music to have what have ended up as being a one-to-one with Popper Brink. So, in reality, it was just French. We had Mr. Biedman. Ron Biedman, also known as Henri Claude Biedman. And it was some time before we realised that he had quite a sense of humour. It all arose one summer when an Australian joined our year for the summer term. Like so many of our Antipodean colonial cousins, he was irritatingly good at all sports. He immediately slotted into one of the cricket 11s, won the half mile on sports day, as well as breaking records in the swimming pool. He was also pretty good in the classroom, but he had never learned French. And he somewhat struggled in Mr. Biedman's lower set. However, his struggle ended one day when he was asked to translate the phrase "moi aussi," and he replied, I am an Australian. This opened the floodgates to a deluge of franglais. And when studying some French menus, Ron Biedman was amused when we asked him if a la carte meant on the wagon. He also assured us that coq au vin did not mean making love in a pantechnicon. And Mr. Biedman called it to an end when Peter Mitchell asked him if a tete a tete was a tight bra. History was taught by Buzz Berry, who taught at the school for 40 years. History with Buzz Berry was all wars, and we only learned about the battles the English won. This produced some conflict when we had some visiting pupils from France on an exchange. They asked why our syllabus did not mention Nelson's crushing defeat at Toulon, and the fact that Agincourt was the only battle with the French that Henry V actually won. This added spice to the occasion, although the syllabus did not change. Through my 5 years at the school, George Baxter was at the helm and ran a regime based on biblical teaching and Christian principles. We all have varied memories of him, but for me, one memory stands out. It was in 1957, World Refugee Year, when he motivated the school into raising funds to assist the refugee children held in camps in Europe to come to England under the umbrella of the Ockenden Venture and make Surrey their home. This gave us the opportunity to meet these teenagers who had grown up in squalid conditions for most of their lives. For me, I will never forget meeting a teenage Jewish girl who was actually born in Belsen. George Baxter certainly had a social conscience. On leaving the school in December 1959, I joined the Ilfan Haymans Association and became a life member. Good value for a fiver. And paid for the football club for a couple of years. And I've kept in touch with the association over the years. When I joined, John Crotty was as active with the association as he is now. Life at Morley Road is now very different, but the Ilfan Haymans Association has enabled me to keep in touch with former colleagues. On leaving the school, I entered Her Majesty's Diplomatic Service, and I spent 32 years globe-trotting and had marvellous opportunities of working in overseas countries. On a number of occasions, I have met up with old boys who, like me, were working overseas. This made my career even more interesting. I still enjoy these occasions, and my £5 fee to become a life member was money well spent. Last summer, a number of us attended a garden party with the old girls of Farnham Girls Grammar School to celebrate the Queen's 90th birthday. It was held at the school. The weather was perfect, and we wandered freely around the grounds. The buildings were open for us to look around. Much has changed, but not George Baxter's study, the geography room, Alan Flux's music room, along with the main staircase. The old honours boards containing the names of Pete Larby, Donald Nicholson, Alf Common and Bill Wallace are there for us to see. All this makes me pleased to say that I have retained my connections with the school and the association, So please be upstanding as I approach the proposed token for the association.
Association.